okay, I'm an addict named Rochelle.
Rochelle.
I just want to have a moment of silence. If you can just invite your God and my God into this and help me get out of the way. Okay. Can you guys hear me?
I'm better now.
No? All right, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm truly grateful, for the committee for asking me to be able to come up here and to give back, right, what's been so freely given to me. Narcotics Anonymous truly is the greatest show on earth, man. And I don't talk about money, property, and prestige. I talk about the inner journey, the spiritual journey that I receive here, man. I'm just grateful today, that I have a roof over my head. I got running water. I thank God every single night for the comforter that I have when I lay down and I'm warm at night, this disease has kicked my ass many, many, many of times clean. I'm going to be coming up on 12 years clean. And one thing that I just don't give up, I keep working this program. And one thing I learned, and I just came to a realization, when they say chase this thing harder than you chased your drugs, people today were telling me, you're so intense. And I'm like, I ain't intense, man. I ain't in denial of this thing because I chase this thing, right? When I start to let up and I start to take, I can sit back. I don't got to go to a meeting. That's what my disease wants, man. It wants me to fall back into denial rather than when I stay vigilant, man, I have more awareness. I stay spiritually awakened. I don't fall back to sleep. And that's a painful place for me to be, is to fall back asleep, man. I don't want nothing to do with that. And I just came through a hard period of that. It was funny, I got the triangle of self-obsession because my higher power has just taken me through this process, really. I've been the problem all my life. It's not easy to be selfless, especially when you don't feel good, man. When you're hurting and you don't feel good and my higher power is asking me to go do something and I just want to wallow up and just sit on the couch and have a pity party, but I know I can't because if I do that, all my gratitude and humility will go right out the door and I got to buckle up and show up. And do I do it, with grace all the time? No. But I know in those moments that one thing I also learned here is that I don't have power, man. The power that I have comes from the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and my higher power. God can remove that from me at any time, man. And I go out into the world and I feel naked. I feel like I got to protect myself out there, right? So all my defects of character start coming out and I start trying to protect myself because I can't feel the shield of my higher power protecting me, man. And that recently just happened to me. So you know what? The recovery kicked in and the next thing it said to me was, the ultimate weapon is another recovering addict, right? So I pick up the phone. Man, I need so much help in this program. I need more help, I think, now, because my disease will want to make me think I know everything again. When I start hearing some truth, right, my disease will start making me think I know something around here. And my ego, right, my pride, that's the biggest lie that my disease can tell me. I am not self-sufficient. I know how to make my life very unmanageable at 11 years clean. I'm not that important. We're all equal, man. We're all the same. We all have the same disease. We have two things in common, the disease of addiction and recovery. I'm no gooder than you. I'm no worse than you. I have step 6 and 7 where I can humbly go to a higher power and ask for grace and mercy to remove me of my shortcomings so I can feel whole. But then I got to remember whenever he brings me back and I got to see my defects, not to fall back into that pity party because his grace and mercy allowed me to feel loving and caring. Because I want to feel it all the time, man. I'm an addict. I want to feel loving and caring and kind and tolerant and patient, all the time because it makes me feel connected to my higher power. When I don't feel those things, I don't feel connected to my higher power. And I'll be honest with you, that self-obsession piece, we talk about the triangle of self-obsession. The thing that I'm obsessed with is the God that's inside of me. When I'm aware of my defects, I ain't obsessed with myself. I can't stand myself. And I'll just share, you know, I just came through this process, right? I had about 3 weeks, man. My higher power removed me of my defects and my shortcomings. You know, I felt so whole than I've ever felt, right? Light. I felt light, right? And then all of a sudden, one day came, right? And I'm looking inside myself, right? Because I feel whole. So I'm not looking externally. I'm not looking outside myself, right? To try to fix me because of my defects, right? Because I feel whole. So he takes me 3 weeks, right? And I'm feeling whole. And then the next morning I wake up, I felt like shit. I wake up and then what do you know I start doing? I look at my phone and I start looking externally. I start looking outside myself, right? To try to fix myself. After I just came off of a period of feeling whole, you know? And immediately I pick up the phone and I'm so tired, man. I'm so tired of this disease and myself getting in the way. I'm so tired of staying the same. And my God is teaching me how to slow down, how to come to him for help. Before I make a decision on impulse or like instant gratification, to come to my higher power, right? Because it's always for the greater good of everybody and not just my selfish ways. And I went to go get in the I text my aunt really quick, right? I want to feed my instant gratification because I didn't feel good. And I reach out to my aunt. I'm like, oh, you want to go down to... you want to go down and see the plants and like, I got to make everything, you know, to off the wall chain, right? If we're going to go see this, then we're getting a hotel room. We're getting this, right? So I can like feel really good. And God said to me, you better stop, Rochelle. He's like, you've been doing the same thing for 11 years, acting on instant gratification. And I went into the shower and I could have pushed God aside, man. I heard him clear as day. I heard him clear as day as tell me I better stop. And I wanted to push him aside and say, I didn't hear you and just keep going on my way, right? I said, oh shit, Rochelle, you better stop and you better go pray and you better think this through or you're going to be in a lot of pain. So I stopped. I got out of the shower. I went and I sat at the kitchen table. I started writing to God, and he revealed it to me clear as day, man, what I was about to do. I called my aunt, and I said, you know what, Cindy? I said, I am tired. I'm so tired of being this person. I'm so tired. So tired of making everything about me all the time, right? I want to just be a decent human being. I just want to be a genuine, good human being, right? But I have this disease, man. I am so self-obsessed. It don't matter. I'll be good. And then this disease will turn it into making it all about me. And so and I'll share this. So that whole process, man, of coming off of that, I paused, right? And I went to God for help and I reached out to my sponsor. And then I had to go to a family Christmas party. And I felt so naked, man. I didn't feel like I had any power of like God at all, man. And I knew that whatever I was going to do, I was about to harm some people because my defects were going to come out to try to protect me. So I reached out to another addict for help. And I said, man, I can't go in this alone. I didn't want to use. It wasn't about using. It was about going in there and being defeated by the disease, man. Coming at me in every single way you could possibly think of being at that holiday party. You know, see, my family, we're all good people. My family has a bad disease too. You know, my dad is full of ego and pride. I didn't want to go back into that Christmas party and get stuck back up in my head when I just came through a journey in my heart. And that scared me, man, because I want to stay here. I don't want to be here where the lies are. Me lying to myself, pretending I'm something that I'm not and believing that stuff where my heart tells me the truth. And I'm starting to be able to come to differentiate between the two spirits that are within me, the spirit of lies in my mind and the spirit of truth that's in my heart. And so I did. I reached out to another recovering addict, and I was like, I can't go in this alone. And moments like that, you know, God gives me opportunities to reach out, right? He said, no, Rochelle, I ain't going to give you the power today. He's like, you need to reach out. You need to start reaching out for some help. So I reached out, and... the other recovering addict, she didn't wake up and she wasn't able to make it. But I did what I was supposed to do. You know, I reached out for help. And because of that, you know, by God's grace and mercy, you know, I was able to be protected in that situation. And so I left there, man. And this was a rough experience, but I came through. God started showing me, Rochelle, you ain't the center of the universe. This is not about you. I was so mad, man. At 11 years clean, I was mad to accept that this was not about me. I thought this whole story was about me. This whole story in the world, I thought, was about me. That's how big my ego is and how big my ego lies to me. It tells me I'm going to save the world. And they don't have me believe in that stuff. So I wanted to rebel against God last week. I felt so naked and I felt so unworthy to go to my higher power. Because, right, when I'm feeling good, it's easy to love God and be of service and to do what God's asking me to do when I'm feeling loving and caring. When I ain't feeling good, am I still able to follow His will and be selfless? Or do I want to rebel against it and take back my will and go out into the world and create all kinds of chaos? And so I call my sponsor. You know, I get out of work, and you know, I call my sponsor, and I share about how I felt really rebellious towards God. And so I went to a meeting, you know, because like it's just you know, this whole program is just a beautiful thing, you know. It's the solution for everything. And I went to a meeting, and I just shared about it. And then the next day, I went to work. And I was aware of the two spirits that were speaking to me inside my body. My selfish stuff was speaking to me in my head, telling me not to take care of my patients, telling me to do all kinds of crazy stuff. And then my heart was telling me how to be God-centered and selfless. And God was giving me choices in those moments. But see, I don't have the ability. Every time that I would say to a patient, I would say, like, I just got to depend on God in this situation. God would give me the power to be able to carry out what I needed to carry out. When I didn't mention it, I didn't have the power to do it. And like, another thing that God showed me is how small I am. You know, when you come from a period, and I'll speak for me and my experience. When I just came through this period where I was able to see, because I knew the wholeness in me, the loving and care, I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was God in me, man. I know the love that comes through us is God's love, man. It's not us. It's God. And in that moment, man, I don't know. Like, there was 2 days just recently, I couldn't even get off the couch. God showed me without it. Because, you know, energy, right? The energy I believe that I have is love, right? Love gives me energy. And He showed me real quick who I am without His love. I can't even get off the couch. I'm laying on the bathroom floor, begging for help. And I'm grateful for that experience, you know, because there was you know what I learned here, being around here a little bit, is the more vigilance you need to work this program, because your denial at 11 years clean will start telling you some serious stuff, man. And if you think that you got this at 11 years clean, and you think that you don't got to go to a meeting, and you don't think you got to call your sponsor, or go out with newcomers, or at 11 years clean, you don't think you got to reach out when you go to a meeting and ask women or men for their phone numbers and pick up the phone and call them, even though you don't know them? I'll speak for me. I do. I got to pick up that phone, even if it's just to say, hey, oh, this is Rochelle. I'm just checking in. Bye. I have to do that because that's how I stay aware. Another thing I kind of learned in this program is, I caught the disease saying to me, well, you don't want to go around those newcomers because you don't want to fall back into those old behaviors. You don't want to pick up their defects. I'm like, that's a bunch of bullshit. So, you know, I went out. You know, another thing the disease has been doing to me, it's been telling me, it's been saying, it talks to me constantly. It don't sleep. It's on me every second. It tells me now Just be silent, Rochelle. You don't gotta talk. You don't gotta share with nobody. You'll be more humble if you just keep your mouth shut, right? Because it knows I can't stand the ego, right? Because the ego cuts my connection from my higher power. I hate it. And I know that I'm powerless if I don't have that connection to a higher power. And so I've been trying to figure out why, right? Why it's telling me not to talk. It don't want to tell me to talk because it don't want me to reveal itself, man. They don't want me to tell the people the truth that I'm coming to see inside my disease about how it affects me. It wants me to shut up because it don't want me to tell you. It wants to keep us all in denial, man. That's why we all gotta work this program. We gotta help one another. And that day I was driving home from work. And I was like, God, just take my life, man. I don't want to do this shit no more, God. And I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to fight this battle in me. You know, my disease and my heart and all this stuff, right? Constantly trying to screw up whatever God's plans are for my life. And just telling God to take my life. And he said to me, Rochelle, you've fallen into a pity party. And I was like, oh, I better stop that. And so the next day, instead of like saying anything, I didn't feel good, but I started like thanking God, man. Started thanking God. And you know, it's an honor to be able to be used, you know, as a vessel for anything. I need God's help in this program to be able to help me to get my selfishness out of the way, man. I need help. I need a lot of help. And I get that by, you know, helping other people. I just want to change, you know, and they say there's no true change without humility. And I'm not the person that can stand up here and tell you that I own a home. I got a roof over my head. I don't own a home. You know, I'm not chasing after those things in my life anymore. I can care less about that stuff, man. I'm just trying to like stay alive. Help another person. Because I know to be empty inside and have all that is miserable. Miserable. I don't want it. I tell God I don't want nothing. I actually found more contentment in having very little than I find in having more. And one thing that has helped me tremendously is I recently started making a gratitude list. I had heard another addict share that in the morning when they wake up, they make a gratitude list. And he had like 20 some years clean. Yeah, I heard this a long time ago. And God, I don't know why it took so long for me to apply that in my life. That's been the greatest thing that I've ever done is starting to make a gratitude list each day. It changed my perception. It helps me to be grateful for the things that I have rather than to be fixated on the things that I want, because it will never be enough. I will never be satisfied. So I focus on what I have, right? And try to be grateful for what I have, you know? And that's working for me, you know, that gratitude list. And, you know, step three, right? That's an every second thing for me, right? Is surrendering my will to God, right? That's almost like a second by second thing for me. Is making that decision, step three, constantly. That conscious contact, step 11, is a must. And that's the thing I learned about this disease, man. It has caused so many distractions in this world, right? It has us all distracted to keep us off of what we need to be focusing on. Social media. I'm not trying to like put anybody there, but like all these distractions. It's the enemy's tactics, man. It's the disease's tactics. And so I'm learning that through all the mistakes that I've made, through all the pain that I've endured in this program. You know, I make a lot of mistakes, but you know one thing is that I know when I come and share honestly, that wisdom and understanding comes. And if I ever think once that I'm smart, gonna outsmart this thing, you wanna know another thing it did to me the other night? This is how sly it is, man. I went out with some women from West Virginia. We went and I'm really big on fellowshipping, right? Because I feel like as a fellowship, we kind of are going away from that in the area that I'm at. And I don't like that, man, because the fellowshipping helped me tremendously. And so us women got together and we went out to dinner. And me and this other girl, we ordered a buffalo chicken wrap, and it was awful. And I looked at her, I said, this is awful. Before, I wouldn't even have said anything, right? People pleasing. We're like, you got to like sound positive all the time or you can't do this. And so I told her, I said, this is awful. And I said, you know, are you going to eat that? And here she is like literally dripping the buffalo sauce. I mean, it's just pouring out, right? And this is just opportunities that God gives me, right? To be able to practice things in my life. Opportunities, right? Difficult people. Opportunities, right? To practice spiritual principles in my life. If everything went the way I wanted it to, what would I have to practice, right? Nothing. And so she said her disease worked through her to work on me to start to self-rationalize why I did not have to say something about why those chicken wraps were so awful. So she says to me, oh, no, it's okay. I'll eat it. And I knew, like, and then I started saying, well, okay, you know, the self-rationalization that we do. I said, oh, okay, then she's okay. She must like it. She didn't like it. She hated it. So I didn't say nothing, right? And here comes the disease. I get in my car. It starts making me beat myself up, right? I start beating myself up, thinking that I can outwit that thing, thinking that I can outwit smarter than the disease, right? So they can fall me back into some ego thing, thinking I got power over it. And I had a friend from Virginia reach out to me. And he had something happen in his life that night. And thank God for him. Because just by him reaching out to me, he got me out of that. And I was able to find humor in it. And be able to see that the disease was already trying to set me up. And I'm laughing, you know, like with him and... His disease had him open up a can of pop at Walmart. He tasted it. It tastes like shit. He put it behind a popcorn bag on the shelf. And then it beat him up for 5 days until he went back to the store and he said, hey, just take this money and don't even ask me why. I mean, that's just how good this like this disease is, you know. And the more that I live this program in my life, the more aware I am of how it affects me. And you know, I have empathy today, man. I have empathy because I know the pain of what it feels like to be disconnected from a higher power. I know the pain of what it feels like to be lost. I know the pain of what it feels like to have these defective characters that we all wish that we didn't have. Who wants to be like that? People that aren't even addicts, man. I just, my family, man, I cry for them. You know how hard it is to watch your family see the disease running all over them, knowing you know that you have a gift and a solution, but you can't do nothing about it because you're powerless. And I cry to God, and it's killing my mom. It's killing her. I don't even know how long she's gonna live. She's dying, man, from this disease. My brother's a good dude, man. He's dying from the disease. You know, we're at Christmas and you know, like when your hope's gone, the hope is just, he said to me the one day, he goes, Rochelle, what is the purpose of all this? See, we have a purpose here. Our purpose is to carry the message to the still sick and suffering addict, man. It's the greatest gift I truly feel that we can receive. And my brother, I can't even carry it to them, man. And, you know, I truly, you know, attraction rather than promotion, you know. But they're really not attracted to my lifestyle because I don't have money, property, or prestige. You know, my brother, I'll be honest, my brother was a professional hockey player. He played for Los Angeles, out in Los Angeles. And chasing after all that material stuff, man, it's just eating him out. He's rotten. But he has such a good heart, you know, and it's killing him. He drinks every day. He's not aware that he has a problem. So I just pray, you know, I pray that my family one day, you know, there's nobody in my family that has received this, nobody. And it makes it really hard to go to functions because I really don't know how to communicate. Because they'll always say to me, stop with that. Because you know when you come here, you don't know how to speak this? I didn't know how to speak this at all when I got, I didn't speak for 5 years when I got to this program, man. I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know how to talk this. I knew the color green. That is all I knew when I got here. I knew shit. And I knew that. I couldn't speak this if I tried. I didn't know about resentment. When I started hearing about spiritual principles, I thought I was in a whole nother world, man, because I never learned the tools. My disease has been fed to me. My disease has been fed since the minute that I've, you know, been born into this world. You know, I was never taught the tools. I don't even know what time it is. I'm sorry. Is that it? Okay. I never learned the tools, you know, and so just through coming here and listening, I started to learn, but like sometimes I'll talk, my family looks at me like I'm from some other planet when I speak to them. They don't get it, man. Because they don't have the tools. They don't have the tools against the disease, you know? And that's why this program is truly a gift, you know, it's such a gift and, you know, it can't be given away. So if you're sitting here tonight, you know, you're so blessed. You're so blessed to be sitting in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. It's not even funny. It's unbelievable to be able to sit here and but yeah, I guess that attraction rather than promotion, you know, because when you promote it, you just push people further away. And maybe one day, you know, if their egos get out of the way, they can realize they need help too. And I don't know. I thank you guys all for being here and for helping me to get another day clean today. I truly learned in this program that's all we got. It don't matter what, how much clean time you got. We just got today. How they say what you did for your recovery yesterday won't keep you clean today. It sure is the truth. And I still have to do exactly what I did on day one that I do now, if not more, because I, you know, that know-it-all mentality, it's starting to try to come back in. I just got to keep sharing about it, right? I just got to share and tell on it. That's all I got to do. As long as I tell on it, because my disease will say, keep it a secret. Don't tell nobody. So I've learned the more that I expose it, the better off I am. And that's all I got. Thank you. Happy holidays, everybody. And thank you.